ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
All right, thank you very much for coming here to listen to what I have to say. I'm told that I'm not supposed to speak on anything religious, so generally we don't talk on anything religious, although that might seem unusual to you, but religion is generally considered to be some kind of blind faith. But we can't expect people in the modern age to just be, especially those who are educated in a scientific way, to be interested or to be impressed simply by blind faith. So let's talk in scientific terms. Now, if I say I'm going to speak from Bhagavad Gita, then you'll think that's religion. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna repeatedly uses the terms jnana and vijnana. Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshatah yaj gyatva neha bhuyon yaj gyatavyama vishishyate. Krishna tells Arjuna that I shall now speak to you about that jnana and vijnana, by knowing which nothing else shall remain to be known. So this term vijnana is used in modern Indian languages to mean science. So you've all come here to this college. Why are you in this college? What's the reason for your being in this college? Why have you come here? Any thoughts? Why are you studying in this college? Shouldn't be too difficult a question to answer. Any volunteers? Okay, we have someone. Someone has got an answer to that question. Why are you studying in this college? Yeah, please. No sound. Well, I need a translation for that.
Yes, he came here to get rid of the ignorance and he want to get enlightened.
He said vijnana.
Vijnana.
That you're translating as enlightenment.
Enlightenment.
Science, yeah. Any other suggestions? All right, I'll give a suggestion. Why are you studying in this college? What's the aim of this? Basically, in the broadest sense, everyone has come here because you want to be benefited, isn't it? You've come here to get some benefit. Is everyone comfortable with my English? Do we need a Telugu translation? They're comfortable with my English? Okay. So everyone has come here for some benefit, just like our friend here said he wanted to get rid of ignorance and to get enlightenment. So yeah, the college is meant for education, which that is meant for giving knowledge. Knowledge is the antonym of ignorance. You don't know something, you get education, and then you know, and by that knowledge, you're supposed to be benefited. You're supposed to be in a better position than you were in previously. Just like I saw the posters in the college campus, that knowledge is power. In the Hitopadesh, maybe you heard of the Hitopadesh. That means instruction by which you are benefited. There is a similar saying. Buddhya yatsya balam tasya. Who has got intelligence has got power. So these two are not necessarily the same. Knowledge and intelligence are not necessarily the same. You can have knowledge and still be a fool, right? If you don't know how to apply it. And someone can be uneducated, but they can be in many ways very intelligent. Just like we are told that Henry Ford, the founder of the Ford Motor Company, was not a very highly educated for that person. For that matter, Einstein, he also didn't have a very big education, formal education, but he turned out to be what was supposed to be the greatest scientist of the 20th century, although it seems like his theories are now inevitably proved to be flawed. There's some severe problems with his theories. Anyway, you've come here to be benefited by education. Mm. Now, if you are to be benefited, first of all, you should know who you are, right? That's the first thing to know. Who you are and how you can be benefited. Who are you? If I ask who are you, you might give some reply. My name is Sanjeev Kumar Reddy, and I am a student at the Vishnu Dental College, and I am age 21. I am from Bhimavaram. So in this way, you consider this is me, and how I can be benefited. I can be benefited by getting a college degree, and then I will get a job, and I will earn money, and in this way I will be benefited. So this is the idea. Now, I would like to give you the proposition that what is your actual benefit is something quite different to that which it is generally considered in whole of human society. Generally, in the whole of human society throughout history is running on some severe misconceptions. And especially in the modern age, the misconceptions have become intensified, and especially in modern education, the misconceptions. Misconceptions means mistakes, errors, fallacies, myths. So you came here to get rid of ignorance by which you can be enlightened. We will have to see what the result of that enlightenment is. Now, the education that's going on here is clearly modeled after Western education. And the aim of life that is being promoted here is clearly based on the materialistic idea that by getting education and money, we will have a better life, right? That's the idea. However, we see that in the Western world, on which the whole of modern India to a large extent is copying the pattern of the Western world, that despite having education and technological development and military power, still people are not happy. Despite the tremendous economic development that has gone on in the Western countries over the last 200 to 300 years, now that economic development it's collapsing, the Western economic system is collapsing, people are not happy. You may be surprised to know, but I can tell you, I see with my own eyes, in the cities of America, there are many beggars in the street. There are tremendous social problems with drug abuse, broken families, child abuse, and just like you see that in London recently, there were riots. So the model that modern India is following of following the Western world, is it really for the benefit? Is it really for your benefit to be like that? I myself, when I was a little younger than you, I was at school in England, and I was supposed to go to university, but I asked myself that what will be the benefit? I saw all around me people with money, with university degrees, with so-called good jobs, who were not happy. They were frustrated. People are frustrated. So is it really for my benefit just to do what everyone else does unthinkingly? We just presume that by getting a degree and getting money, that is for our benefit. And you can say, well, it is for our benefit, but is it for our ultimate benefit? Will it make us happy in this life? And apart from that, there's the great question, well, what happens after death? Because however successful you may be, just like I saw in the office here, the reception room, the picture of the founder of this institute, was it V.J. Raju? Yeah, getting the Padma Bhushan Award from Atal Bihari Vajpayee. So there's a picture of Atal Bihari Vajpayee, and also Abdul Kalam came here. So the names of Vajpayee and Abdul Kalam, they're some of the most prominent people in recent Indian history. But everyone has to pass on. However prominent a figure you may be, you have to die. So what happens after that? Now, in modern education, we are trained practically not even to think of that, just to focus on this life. I propose that this is not a very good feature of modern education. Why should you focus only on this life? What happens after death? this is the most important question that anyone can ask. And what happens after that, getting the answer to that, that should be the actual subject of our inquiry. Now, if we say we've come here for our benefit, we should consider first, who are we? Am I simply a human being born in Andhra Pradesh who has to earn some money and then, you know, get a job, earn some money, have a family, and then die? And then what happens after that? Now, why do the educational institutions not teach that? Is that it's just presumed that nothing happens after that. This is a supposition of modern science, which has absolutely no scientific basis whatsoever. that after death, when the body is finished, everything is finished. This supposition comes about on the supposition that life is simply a combination of chemicals, that there's no soul, there's no atma within the body. So when the body dies, life finishes. But is that a fact? That cannot be scientifically proved or disproved. But especially in this country, which is now called India, there have been generations of people who were concerned with this question and whose civilization was not based simply on getting money, building big houses, having technological development, but whose civilization was built on trying to understand what is the ultimate meaning of life, what is the nature of reality. If we are to be benefited, we have to see who we are. And we can see that people are not satisfied simply by getting money, clothes, house, and so many material facilities. This suggests that we are something more than the body and something more than the mind. And in fact, those who are the most advanced investigators of spiritual reality, they have taught us that when the body is finished, the Atma continues to exist. And even before this body came into existence, we existed. We are eternal. You are eternal. Your name might be now Sanjeev Kumar Reddy, but before that, you also existed. What's the average age of the students here? About 21, is it? Something like that? There are postgraduate students here also? This degree college, huh? So if I ask most of you then would be less than 25 years old. Where were you 25 years ago? And what would you answer? That's the kind of question makes the computer hang up. Where were you 25 years ago? You may say, well, I didn't exist. Or maybe that body that you now identify yourself with, that didn't exist. But you existed. And you got the body that you have now exactly according to activities that you performed in previous lives. Just like you learn. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, right? It's a simple principle. But that works on the karmic platform also. You might think that I can cheat someone. I'm not accusing you, but I'm just giving this as an example. You might think that I can cheat someone and get away with it. But we can't get away with anything because that enters our karmic bank account. And if we cheat, we lie, we steal, then even in this life, if we get away with it, in the next life, we will, or even 100 lives later or 1,000 lives later, we will have to take the reaction for that. Now you may say, well, this is something religious. It's a religious belief that there's life after death, there's reincarnation. But interestingly, there was a psychologist from Australia, who recently died, who spent his whole life scientifically investigating the phenomena of reincarnation. And he, in various writings, he gave very solid scientific evidence that there is reincarnation. It's not simply someone's belief, but there are plenty of cases of people remembering their previous lives, and he investigated it in various ways, seeing that people were not just cheating or making something up. If you want, you could Google his name, Ian Stevenson, and find out that even in terms of modern scientific investigation, there is the phenomena of reincarnation. Now, if we think about that, if we just consider that everything that I do in this life will make an effect for the future, and I will get another body, and another body, and another body, based on what I do in this life. And whatever kind of body I get, I have to undergo Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha. Well, we should think about that, isn't it? Now you're going to be successful, right? You're from a small town or some village in Andhra Pradesh, and you want to go to a big city like Hyderabad or Chennai and be a doctor or a dentist or a pharmacologist, or in this way consider yourself more advanced than your parents and your grandparents, who were maybe farmers or small-town merchants or something like this. But however so-called successful you might be, you have to suffer. No one can get free from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. These are facts. This is not a religious belief. These are scientific facts. Everyone has to go through this. But there is a process to get free from birth, death, old age, and disease, and is this process which is the most important education. Because even if you become a successful doctor or a successful pharmacologist, or you become an Abdul Kalam or an Atal Vajpayee, still we have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. So how to get free from this, that should be the ultimate purpose of education. That will be for our ultimate benefit. Now, I'm not saying that, okay, you should stop attending. No, you can do your college and all this. But we should understand that the highest education...
What's up?
They don't understand. Okay, do you want to give a summary of what I said so far in Telugu?
Okay,
go ahead.
That's it.
All right, that's the summary. So we would like to suggest that along with your education, you inquire into the highest education. Especially because in this country, the inquiry into the Adhyatma Vidya, or the spiritual knowledge, that has been the central point of this civilization.
Okay.
So it is difficult for people in the modern age to understand the subtle principles of this spiritual knowledge. But in this Kali Yuga, in which people's minds are always disturbed, there is one very simple process for spiritual realization, which is by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This might sound like just some ordinary words, but it is the Maha Mantra, which means the greatest mantra. The Vedic mantras, if properly pronounced, have tremendous power. This Maha Mantra is the most powerful mantra because it can lift us out of this world of birth and death and bring us to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So obviously there are many, many things to be discussed, and I can't discuss them all now. I can simply suggest that alongside with your education that you are taking here, you try to understand who is actually Vishnu, as this college complex is called Vishnu. Who knows what Vishnu means? Does anyone know what the name means? Anyone? Yeah? Sarva Vyapaka. Yeah, alright, that's very good. Who is all pervading. Yeah. But at the same time, we see pictures of Vishnu, isn't it? With four hands. So how can he be a person and also all-pervading? Yeah, so that's not possible for you and me. But because he is Vishnu, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate principle of everything, therefore he can be localized and spread everywhere at the same time. So that's an exciting subject of study, isn't it? In modern science, they're studying or hypothesizing about so many fantastic things. Siddhanta, Matavad. Yeah. So for instance, black holes in space, in which tiny holes, which if anything enters, it just gets gobbled up in the black hole. Gobbled up means it just, anything enters there, just becomes immerged in that. You know what a black hole is? According to modern scientists, they theorize that maybe 90% of the universe is made of dark matter that we cannot in any way perceive. And in string theory, they theorize about 11 dimensions of existence. So modern science is theorizing about all kinds of things which are mind-boggling. But the ancient spiritual Adhyatma Vidya Vigyanam, the ancient spiritual knowledge of India, gave knowledge of that magnificent person, Vishnu, who is supreme over everything, localized in one place, and at the same time, spread everywhere. So you're going to be having some regular programs here. You'd like to, you can tell them about that, that you're going to conduct some programs, and if anyone's interested, they can contact you. The first thing is to discover yourself. Who am I? Am I simply a student from a town in Andhra Pradesh? What is our full potential? You might think that with your full potential, at the most, you could become the Prime Minister of India. But if we understand spiritual knowledge, we can achieve a position much, much better than that of the Prime Minister of India. So we have to unleash the spiritual potential within us. Just like the atom is so small, it cannot be seen except with an electron microscope. Not any microscope, but... But the power within that is tremendous. So we are very tiny living beings. But we have tremendous potential. We are all part and parcel of Vishnu. Not equal to him, but his eternal servant. So if we can rise above the platform of birth, death, old age and disease, we can come to the eternal platform. So we're going to be offering some introductory courses in discovering yourself.
Okay,
I'm going to leave some time now for questions, if anyone has any questions. You can speak them, or if you feel shy, you can write them down on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give them. You better stay here. Madhav Gopinath didn't come, huh?
He's sick. He is sick.
I see, yeah.
Anybody want to ask me?
Ah. Once they start, now. Yeah. You can ask in Telugu or English or Hindi, for that matter.
Why are you here?
Why are you here? You want to translate that? You need the mic to translate. Yeah, you have to send the mic back. You can take this mic. No? It's not working. Hare Krishna. Okay, give the mic then. Okay, this is a very good question. Thank you very much. This is the real question everyone should ask. Now, if you ask this question in the college, they'll say you're here to get a degree so that you can get money. But why are we here at all in this material world? This question should be asked. Why are we in this world which is full of misery? However much we try to be happy, we cannot avoid distress. Isn't it a fact? We cannot avoid distress. But by our nature, we want to be happy. So why are we in this contradictory, frustrating position? Okay, so I'll give you the answer according to the Vedic understanding. This Ved means Vidya, means knowledge. Yeah. So by nature, we are happy. Our nature is Satchit Anandamay. That means, by nature we are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But this material world, in this material world, we accept, we are in a position where we are not eternal. We have to die. Hey, could all of you, I know you're all getting a little restless here, but try and tune in and listen, because this is an important point that's being discussed. Because people grow up watching TV, therefore they can't listen to any serious discussion for more than half an hour. But try to, you know, just calm down your mind and listen to what's being said. Don't be like monkeys who just can't keep still. Keep your mind still. So, by nature, we are meant to be happy. We have left the spiritual atmosphere. The spiritual atmosphere is one of service to Vishnu. But we have got minute independence. We have got minute independence to choose to serve Vishnu or to not serve Vishnu. So if we choose not to serve Vishnu, then we come to this material world. Then we forget Vishnu and we try to make ourselves God. We try to enjoy ourselves separately from God, from Bhagavan, which is not possible. And therefore we suffer in this material world. So why are we here? The next question is, where should we be going? We should go to that place where there is no birth, death, old age or disease. Now the next question, who am I? We need a clear and simple answer. Who are you? Who am I? So many questions are coming. All right. Who are you? Who am I? We are all Atma by nature. Atma means Satchit Anandamai, part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. Every living being is part and parcel eternally of Krishna. You've asked for a clear and simple answer. That is a clear and simple answer. But because our intelligence is messed up, we may not be able to understand it very easily. That may require some training. Actually, to understand this knowledge, one's consciousness needs to be pure. Understanding spiritual knowledge, it's not like studying in the college where you simply study some book. There has to be purification of consciousness. One cannot cultivate calm, crowed, lobe, and at the same time understand spiritual knowledge. So, for instance, if you go to see some movie, and then the calm or desire increases so much, you can't go to the movie and then come home and become a yogi. So there has to be purification by sadhana, atma shuddhi. Okay, answer. I'll try and answer them quickly.
What we should do to get rid of this dukkha?
What should we do to get free of this dukkha? Say it in Telugu. Well, the first thing we should understand why we are in this dukkhamai sthiti. The first thing, if you want to get out of a bad situation, is to understand why you're in it and how to get out of it. So we are in this unfortunate situation due to forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with Krishna. When we revive our eternal loving relationship with Krishna, then all dukkha is finished. These are very good questions. To answer them fully may take a long time, but I'm just giving brief answers due to time restriction. What will happen after death depends upon what we do in this life. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Urdhvanga chanti sattvasta. Those who are in sattvagun or good consciousness, they go up. Madhyeti shtanti rajasaha. Those who are in mixed consciousness or rajoguna, they stay in the middle platform. And jaganyaguna vritista adhoga chanti tamasaha. Those who are in tamagun, they go down to a very bad position. In the modern age, tamagun is prominent with meat eating and sexy films, and this all drags the consciousness down. So we can't expect people to get a good situation. This question. 6 days course.
He said, after that, everybody will be dead.
No, no, not everyone's the same. You get, according to your activity, you get a different situation. Just like every student who comes out of this college, they're not going to be the same, right? If you study well, you can expect to get a better situation than those who don't study well. So if you act well in this life, you'll get a better situation than those who act sinfully. That makes sense, right? Okay, go on. Okay, you answer that. You're going to give. Okay, go on to the next one. Yeah. Okay. It's all right. We'll get it afterwards. Yeah.
If we serve Vishnu, all the dukkha, we can get rid of all these miserable conditions.
Yeah, that's right. But that should be selfless service.
Okay, soul. Okay, soul of every particular individual. I mean, after death.
Well, again, it depends on what we do in this life. Yeah, we'll discuss that more in the 6-day course. Yeah, go on.
After our death, soul will come out from our body. Why don't it come in the same body again.
Say it in Telugu. Well, because the body is material and everything material has a beginning and an end. Just like you're wearing, say you're wearing one shirt, after some time it gets worn out and you have to get a new one. So in the same way, when the body gets worn out, you need a new one.
What is the journey of the same soul? What is the journey of the same soul?
Not a clear question, is it? Anyway, it's more or less the same question. Okay. Where is God Vishnu?
Akura.
Well, that's already answered. He's all-pervading. He also resides in his own planet, that's spiritual planet of Vaikuntha. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He's within every atom. He's in the heart of every living being. And he also has his own spiritual planet. He's here. He's here now.
Anybody else?
In what?
In this creation. Only we are existing, or anybody else is also there.
You mean on other planets? Yeah, there's life on other planets also, according to Vedic understanding.
Okay, if God is existing, why he is not keeping all of us as his servant? Why he is keeping us in this samsara?
Did you ask it in Telugu? Did you say it in Telugu already? Yeah, okay. Well, that's already answered, that we have minute independence to choose to serve him or to not serve him. Because service to him should be service out of love. And love cannot be forced. You have to serve someone with love is a choice. So we have to choose to serve him. If he forces us, or if we have no choice, then there's no love. Yeah, then? Lots of questions, that's good.
What is the meaning of creation? Why we are born, why we have to live?
Yeah, well, this is more or less the same question being asked in different forms. Why do we exist? We exist to serve Vishnu. We exist to be happy in the service of Vishnu. We're all meant to be happy. Why are we living? Because we're meant to be happy. We can be happy in the service of Vishnu.
What is the meaning of, proper meaning of life?
Yeah. Yeah. The meaning of life is to be happy. But you cannot be happy simply by indriya sukh. That is possible only by atma sukh. Yeah.
Without any reason. No one will exist here. What is the reason for our existence?
It's the same question over and over again. It's good that you have this question. It's again, he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. But we can't see him because we don't love him. But we can perceive his existence if we develop bhakti, love.
If Vishnu is superior, what about Lord Shiva?
Yeah, Lord Shiva is almost the same as Lord Vishnu. But he also identifies himself as a servant of Vishnu. Okay, go on.
Why you came from Poland and you...
Okay, do you want to answer that? Why you came from Poland? You answer, it's a question in Telugu, you can answer in Telugu. You can pick up this paper also. Pick up this paper, there's another question. Okay. Then...
Why would I please show us Krishna to God? Because Krishna means all attractive.
Say in Telugu. Telugu lulu chapandi. Anyway, he's trying to learn. That one about Hindu gods, is that answered? He answered it? Krishna is all attractive. Just, there's two questions. These questions.
My question he asked you.
Manava Seva,
Madhava Seva, Manava Seva.
Mm-hmm. What did he ask about that?
When it is mentioned, he said that as we have read all Bhagavad Gita and all scriptures,
oh, well, that's a very...
that it is there in the scriptures.
But it's not there in Shastra at all. As far as I know, this was invented by Swami Vivekananda. But the idea that you can feed the body and that is service to God is opposite to the spirit of Bhagavad Gita. Because in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna chastises Arjuna for being too much concerned with the bodily aspect over the spiritual aspect. Shochananda socha strong pragyavadang chabhasa sekatasunagmaka sunsvatnanu shochandi panditaha. So actually it's a misconception that simply by building hospitals and schools, this is service to God. Service to God is described, to Madhava is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam Iti Pungsarpita Vishnu Bhaktis Chainava Lakshanaha. That's Navavidha Bhakti. Yeah, okay, so what's his second question?
When somebody is there lying on the road, he met with an accident, what we should do? We should just chant Hare Krishna there, or we should feed him or do something else?
Chant, say Hare Krishna and call a doctor. As long as the body is there, it should not be neglected. Yeah, but any other question about karma, karta, kriya?
When Krishna said karma, karta, kriya is myself, means I am doing everything, then what is the wrong on the part of the living being?
Well, which sloka are you referring to? We find that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, after explaining everything to Arjuna, he says to him, yatechasi tata kuru, you have to choose what to do. Yeah, you already translated that. So it's not that we're robots in some big cosmic puppet show and Vishnu is the director of a puppet show. Certain things are destined. Just like Krishna told Arjuna that in this battle that's about to take place, everyone will be killed with the exception of the Pandavas and a few others, everyone will be killed. That is already decided by me, Krishna said. But he gave Arjuna the choice that you can either fight and be nimitra matra bhava savyasachi. You can either be an instrument in this or not. So some things are fixed and some things we have a choice. Just like, for instance, if you get on a train, if you're on a train going from Bhimavaram to Vijayawada, the train's going along at 60 kilometers an hour. Well, you have a choice. You can jump off the train or you can stay on the train. Mostly when the train's moving at 60 kilometers an hour, people remain on the train. Now, if you stay on the train, you can stand up, you can sit down, you can look out of the window, you can read the book. But as long as you're on the train, you're moving towards Vijayawada. That you cannot change. So some things are fixed. But there is also choice. We have choice within a limited sphere. Yeah, okay.
Who is the real God? Allah, Vishnu, Yesu.
Well, there are different words in different languages. God is a very vague term in the English dictionary that's defined as the supreme being. Allah means, Allahu Akbar, means all-powerful, Sarva Shaktima. Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. His followers claim him to be God. Now, within the Vedic corpus, we have different terms. Bhagavan, Ishvara. Now, Bhagavan, that is defined. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriyaha jnana vairagya yoschaiva shannang bhaga itingina. Jnana vairagya. Yeah, that's it. Aishvarya, virya, yasha, shriya, jnana, vairagya. So, if we find the person that has all these qualities in full, that is Bhagavan. That is Krishna. That same Krishna may be referred to with less understanding as God or Allah.
I'm not asking about everybody else. Who are you? Who am I?
What's this supposed to be, a marriage bureau or something? I am a servant of Krishna, you are a servant of Krishna. Whoever you may be who asked this question.
All right, that seems to be the end of the questions for now. If anyone wants to ask any more questions afterward, they can meet us personally also.
What about singing Hare Krishna? Did we bring any kartals?
Is that allowed? We can chant Hare Krishna, spiritual sound vibration. What do you think? Do you think we should, after we're told not to make a religious thing? Okay. Alright then. Okay then.
So thank you very much for all your excellent questions. This is In Pursuit of Excellence. Sri Vishnu Educational Society is in pursuit of excellence. So thank you for your excellent questions. Excellent is Sarvotkrisht. And we hope that you can make excellent progress in spiritual understanding. And thank you very much to the authorities of this august institution who have kindly welcomed us here today. I came to Bhima... Yeah, okay. I came to Bhimavaram about 20 years ago.
I haven't been here since.
I think this institution was not founded at that time. When was it founded? 97, yeah.
97.
Yeah. I came approximately 91. At that, there was some Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan school. I visited there, yeah. I stayed there.
So, dhanyavadam, Hare Krishna.
Okay, that's nice. So, if we can sit outside, and if anyone wants to meet us, we can meet them there. You can also tell them we're having a program in the city for the next 3 days also.
Okay, let's go.
Is there a book table out there? Where's the book table? Where's the book table? Huh? What? Where's the book table? You didn't set up a book table? Oh. Oh no, this is ridiculous. I wouldn't have come if I'd have known there's no book table. Oh, this is so stupid. I can't believe it. It's just like talking into the wind. I can't believe it. You're doing book distribution every day and you didn't set up a book table.